work order. So if you have a work order in, give me the work order number. If not, find somebody that can put a work order in so I can cover my trip.
Okay. Okay, I'll get with Lexi right now and tell her that I need the work order number.
Yeah, you need a work order number. If it's already in, because Carlos is off, I can't see his work orders.
Okay.
You know, you can text me that number so I can say I went over there because of this.
Okay, I appreciate you, sir.
Okay.
All right, peace. Wise Words with One Gone Show. Good morning from sunny Sacramento. It is the Wise Words of One Gun Show on Blog Talk Radio. And, man, I want to say God is good. My wife is in the house. She's laid back, and she's feeling well. I'll just say that. She's still in pain, but she's feeling well. And so thank y'all for your prayers. Thank y'all for the calls. Thank y'all, thank y'all, and thank y'all. Ooh, woo, God is good. I'm going to the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell.
Yeah, good morning, man. Glad to hear that report. I talked to you yesterday. It was the same report, which I was pleased to hear. And now the pleasure continues as you share that the recovery is likely and is smooth. Little pain, I guess, you know, hey. But the consolation is that pain is probably going to subside and we're going to have our sister back. Because yesterday, what I shared with the body is her participation in a lot of things behind the scenes. And now she's coming out in the forefront, coming in and being a instructor on a lot of the events that we have and being with the healing circles and being with the youth that we work with on the weekends. And she's making herself more visible and more active prior to the operation. So I made it clear that she's a healthy contributor to what we do. And speaking of contributors, good morning to our regular contributors and good morning to our listening audience across the globe. We are once again pleased to present to you our program and expect to stir you up to move toward a new way of thinking and a new wave of thought process that will move us as a people and move us as a country to the places that we're attempting to get. Good morning to you.
Good morning, good morning, and thank you. Mark the Disciple.
Grand Rising Kings and Queens, another glorious day. So let us get out and do glorious things.
Ashe, ashe, ashe. Double R, in the car.
Top to top, Black family. Yeah, man, that's a great report, man. Shoot, God is great, man. Shoot, and praying for Queen Michelle, too, and her son, man. Hope everything turned out right with y'all. How are you?
Ashe, ashe, ashe. Brother Sherman.
Good morning, everyone. God be with you all. Yes, that is a good report. Yeah, so yesterday, while the show was on, yes, so I did get on my knees about this for you. I'm proud of you, Mr. Poole, and I'm proud of the report that was given yesterday about how your wife helped. And it brings me back to the thought of when I first saw Pamela Harris back in 1977 and how black women are the very roots of let's get it started. I yield back.
Ashe, ashe, ashe. Hey, so it is a beautiful day here in Sacramento. I don't know where you are listening from, but here, man, the wind ain't blowing too hard. The sun is bright, and, man, it's just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So today is Let's Talk Tuesday. Let's talk. You know, yesterday we had a lot going on the phone that was so positive and so meaningful that it resonated with me the rest of the day, right? I was just saying, look how people come together, right? You know, sometimes we can disagree, and sometimes we can agree. And so when we disagree and we're able to get back on track, that in itself is healing. That in itself shows that when people say we can't get along and we can't work together because of this, that, or the other, tell them shut up, because we want positive outcomes out of what we do. We don't want to put no negative into the world. It's enough of that, right? And so I want to thank everybody on the call, everybody that calls in for just showing that we're viable, and we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. We doing it. I'm going to the host with the most, Marvell Wilson. Marvell!
Yeah, I'd like to, again, echo that same congratulations to the body that, you know, because I hope that it's being imparted regularly, that through our challenges, we're always attempting to get to solutions and double R resolutions. And we're demonstrating that on a fairly regular basis, and we're getting better at it as we go. So the better we get at it, the more likely it's going to be for us to get comfortable to do the things that we are capable of doing and doing them greatly and doing them because when it becomes easy for us to do anything through practice, that's when it's really going to take hold what it is that we're going to represent from this point on. So we're just constantly moving the needle and growing together and learning from each other and willing to wave once again at those barriers that make it difficult for us to see our majesty in each other. So, again, my commendation to all for being a part of that structure, and we're moving. So I'm gonna let other people identify themselves, but then I have a couple of things I wanna run by you once we get founded with our listening body. So whoever wants to identify, please do so now. Right now, I'm gonna announce the on the 30th of March, which is Saturday, next Saturday. There's a reparations meeting at 2251 Florin Road in the new cafe. It's a nice little spot back there. I have to tell you that Brother Umar Johnson, Dr. Umar Johnson, presented back there, and it was quite a turnout, and it was kind of exciting to see that new place opened up and introduced such a speaker. So that's where we're going to have that meeting, 1:30 to 3:30 on March 30th. Please be there. Another announcement is that we have Tyrone Johnson. I hope he'll come in. I'm going to call him up and ask him to come in. Brother Tyrone Johnson, he comes from our healing circle. He has a garden, and he's been trying to make some things happen in the community for community gardening. So I want to shout out to him to have called in and give a little more clarity about where he is with his venture. And then we have Roz Myers. They call her Mama Roz, who also has a local garden. And she's looking for some young men. So I'll present this evening to our youth group. She's looking to pay some young men to come and help her clear so she can cultivate, because this is the time for planting and some harvesting as well. So she's looking to Mr. Sherman. I'm curious to know, when is your event that you needed people to participate in? So if you would share that, maybe we can pool together some resources or some volunteers to assist you with that, because I remember you mentioned it, but I wrote it down and I lost the note, so I'll need to get a little more accurate notation on when your event is so that we can get somebody out there to help you out, brother.
Hello?
Yes.
So I hope I'm on. So anyway, so that event was last week. It was wonderful.
Oh, no.
And I would like to ask this group to contact the NFB about scholarships for people. So we give out, that group gives out scholarships for like $8,000 per year for 4 years for people. And one more thing about learning. So back in September, SMUD was requesting that people contact them about some of the electrician programs they have. you know, from electricians to doing those car charging stations. Those car charging stations, they pay from $450 per car charging station to $1,500 per car charging station. And we know that the car ain't never going away. And we know that we're looking to find cars soon. So come on, people, get into to this smug program and get busy with it.
Okay, what's the name of it again? You said who's sponsoring it, but what's the name of the program? Do you have that information, or did I miss it?
It's called National Federation of the Blind. There's a San Francisco chapter has lawyers that will help you get the scholarships. Sacramento has one too, but I really didn't know. But the Boston is the main chapter, is the headquarter chapter, and it's 4440 Boston. I'm not sure of all that numbers and stuff, but start with Boston. And so the national convention is in July in Orlando, Florida. And, man, every year I've been, they give out, like, man, 2,000 scholarships or something like that. I yield back.
Okay, before you do, help me understand. When you say scholarship, you're talking about academic scholarship?
So we have Brother Joe and Rev on here while Brother Sherman thinking about that. Hey, Brother Joe, Brother Rev, y'all online.
Good morning, everybody. And, you know, God bless everybody. Last night was a pretty good meeting of the BBOA, and I have a couple of things to talk about, but I'll wait my turn. Thank you.
I'm just a listener today. I'll just call in with my blessings. I yield.
Okay, so Joe, yeah, here's something for you. I've noticed you've been having some concerns that you had to focus on. I didn't want to have people calling and contacting you at this time until, you know, things, the smoke clear with some of those things that were pending. So I haven't put up the alert yet. But with your permission. Okay, all right. I'm gonna have a 3-year-old do it today, a 4-year-old or something. Put it where it's supposed to be, because they know all that stuff. And then I have a couple of mature people who have on the pulse of that. So I'll make sure that for sure I get it out. Someone was saying to me, I don't want to have a bunch of calls and emails coming to you at this point. Because we want to, plus we had to do our script, how we respond to people who respond to us, right? So, I'll give you a call after the program, and we'll get those details ironed out.
Done deal.
Right on. Anybody hearing the echo too? I'm hearing myself repeat myself in there. I hope it's just me.
You have your computer up?
No, I'm in my car.
Well, it's just your echo coming from your car then.
Oh, okay. Well, then, if nobody else is hearing it, I'm good with it.
Yeah, I hear it.
Wow.
It ain't that bad.
That. Okay, yeah. Well, hey, everybody getting heard. Two or three times, which is not a bad thing.
Reparations.
Reparations. Hey, no rep, no vote. Yeah. So, hey, Double R, you got anything that you didn't complete the report or any new report? Because I see Griff not here, but he's coming. he's coming on the 30th. And I realize I probably can be the one pick him up. I was going to do some research to find out who could pick him up. But on the 30th, I should be available to pick him up. So I'm going to pick him up from the airport, and then we're going to attend the meeting, and then he's going to leave that evening. But he wants to sit down with those who have invested interest in the knowledge that he has for a couple hours before he leaves. And we can record everything that gives us the type of fodder and the type of ammunition we're going to need to shake down and break down any opposition, not only on the statewide version, but the citywide version that we're pushing for in Sacramento. So if you got anything you want to add to it, please do. If not, we can pick back up on what we started chatting about yesterday. It was getting interesting, but we ran out of time.
No, all I got to say is, man, take care of that brother right there, man. That brother, now he's been stumping with his reparations for a minute, man. He know a lot about it, man. Y'all should just comfort that brother, man. Just give him his ride, what he need to, because he travels. You know, it's a traveling dude right here. He's 70, what, 4? He can do that. You know, he kind of retired and everything. I can't do what he do, but like I just say, man, just support that brother, man. He's a good brother.
Okay. Well, we got him. Like I say, I was going to do the research to find out, excuse me, who could pick him up, but I have arranged my schedule so that I could be the one to pick him up at the airport and bring him on in. And then, we'll break bread and get ready for the meeting. And then after the meeting, we'll get together and strategize on how we're going to proceed. Because, after the 30th, my personal commitment is I'm not going to wait on anybody else to give me any sanctioning or wait for anybody else to do any financing or anything like that. I'm just going to start pushing the movement and getting it visual in our areas, right? Because right now it's really kind of sparse, and the people are still, you ask them about reparation and they think you're talking about recreation. We say recreation. No, reparation. Reparation, not recreation, right? So that just shows you how off-center the message is right now. So I'm, after the 30th, I'm going to commit myself and whomever might be willing to accompany and assist to get this message really well driven in our society, because that is the most important thing that we could do from the grassroots is make it clear that everybody should be aware of this movement.
Yeah, just stick to the program and the resolutions it is. I know everybody going to be coming with these atrocities, and like I told y'all a long time ago, my violin strings is broke. You feel me? So it's about solutions and resolutions, and what we came up with, I'm sure everybody that no reparations, no vote, you know what I'm saying? And I think I sent you guys a link on Roland Martin versus the Black Lives Matter leader and co-founder of the Rhode Island chapter of Mark Fisher. This dude is supporting the Republicans and he's pumping up Trump when, you know, he didn't give a damn about when they killed one of them people, that white girl at that one Black Lives Matter event. You know what I'm saying? I just like cats, to me, I think they just getting paid or something. They get their own reparations for me, man, because that's a heavy. If y'all ever get a chance, check about 20-something minutes, man, check that Roland Martin versus Mark Fisher from Black Lives Matter. Oh, man, this dude is he's a clown. He don't even have a clue. But I just say this, man, our strength is in our vote. What we need to restrain from it. Just one election, and y'all see how it echo. I yield.
Yeah, I got that piece. And a couple of times, I had some tight meeting schedule after school yesterday, and then got into the late evening. And when I got in, I wind down and didn't revisit that. But I'm interested in that too, because I'm wondering about how do we detect? You know, it's a little signs. Like the other day, we had a sign of a potential MAGA, black MAGA, when the young lady said Joe Biden is a racist and Donald Trump is just presumed to be one, right? These are telltale signs, right? So I think it'd be good for us to be aware, not to battle and bicker with them, but just be aware of blacks who are swinging and leaning toward the Trumpism and the MAGA ideology, just so we can know who we're dealing with up front and not pour into that, you know, and maybe get away from it as soon as possible. Because a lot of times, like Byron, it's a senator out of Florida. His name is Byron, I forgot his last name, right? Oh, you talking about Kapapi? This boy is articulate, right? This dark man is articulate. When he pops it, it's like, oh, shoot. Here's a very, very intelligent. You make it so you think, well, if he's intelligent, it's got to be some reason why he supports these MAGA people. There's got to be a good reason, you know. And so I like to be mindful of have people who are able to speak well, but fork, like the Indians used to say, but with forked tongue, right? So I'm looking for, you know, when they speak like well, but speak with a forked tongue, I just like to be aware of who's able to do that. So I know what my next decision is going to be, and I don't have to worry about being indoctrinated with something or being wooed into something just because somebody can pop it real good, right? Because we got some black folks that woo-wee. I just wonder, I can understand you being on the fence and having concerns, but these people, I've met some people that stuck down hardcore, stand with the MAGA and Trumpism like that's their lifeline. Like if you take it away, something's going to happen to them. And that's disturbing to me.
Yeah, I just think that we just need to be real sensitive on what these politicians are talking about. But it's real easy, black family. The key word that would make your antennas go up is the word reparations. If they don't speak reparations, no need to listen to all the bull crap that they're talking about. You know, we all this and that. You know, man, we ain't even got black history from first to 12th grade here, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know where these people are trying to be in this political stance and take a stand for the politics when, bruh, we ain't them. We at the bottom of everything that is positive. We at the top of everything that's negative. You know what I mean? High incarceration, whatever, low incomes and all this and that. And the bottom line is reparations. I yield.
Well, so we don't need to say double R. What's your feelings about reparations? We don't need to say that. We know. And the more you pour in and the more you emphasize, I think the more it's going to be considered that we should be there too. Matter of fact, I'm all in. I mean, I've been screaming about this for like the last, I guess, 6 or 7 months, right? You know, planting seeds and watering seeds and passing out literature and going to meetings, talking with people, and we even went to barbershops and gave out some flyers that had the code to send the letter to the senator, to the Senate, right? And still there's this, you know, this lull in the air and the lack of clear understanding of what this thing is representative of. And I was there to say a lot of times what I that might, the old adage seems to be too good to be true, there's a tendency for a lot of us to not recognize it as what it is, or potentially what it is, to give too much anticipation for it, because the letdowns have been so consistent that we don't want to risk but so much, because the more you risk, the more you lose, right? So we kind of stay on the fence. Like most people say, yeah, well, you know, if they get it, I'll take the money. And I say, okay, yeah, I guess you would. I mean, yeah, if somebody else do the work and make it happen, and then it happens and you benefit, yeah, of course. Of course you would take it. But we're saying that in order for it to really be clearly understood that it's a we thing, everyone can do something to represent the movement. Everyone can do something. So there is a clear knowledge that everyone is on board, and that don't try to wiggle up out of it, because everyone is on board. We're all aware, and we're all participating in one way or another. So that's kind of like where I see it's important for us to continue to talk about this issue and continue to add on new stuff that happens, and continue to have dialogue about it, and continue to have a brother like Double R that's short and sweet. Reparations or no vote. Reparations or no conversation. What are we talking about if we ain't talking about making it right for the people who are responsible for this country being the empire that it is right now? I'll yield.
Yeah, I concur, man. But to me, it's kind of sad to just hear folks that are qualified, that got lineage-based and everything, to say, I don't care if I get it. I don't care. To me, that energy is just, to me, is just, it just irks me, man, for a black person to say that I don't care. Are you kidding me? 1619, lives matter, period. I yield.
400 votes.
Fellas, you can't get upset. You can't get let yourself get pushed to the side because of naysayers, detractors. We have had our history here has been riddled with that type of individual, whether it be from within the ranks or outside the ranks. Those of us who have vision, as Marvell has pointed out quite a few times, those of us who have thought patterns and can use the English language verbally. We have a task in front of us. Let's complete that. Worrying about detractors like the young lady yesterday area code 111 when he comes through, the individual claiming that he was eating on boogers. Look, man, look, fellas, we're going to have them. We've had them. And many of us have been successful. Now let us keep moving forward. Let's quit wasting time crying about, and I'm not being disrespectful, but the hell with the young lady in blood. We've got a job to do. Let's get the job done.
Brother Sherman here. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So yesterday was a Stephon Clark thing. I didn't go there, but I wonder, I hope, did anyone go there? See, while they're speaking at the Capitol, there's an open mic call. Did anyone go there? I'll go back.
Although I'm a transplant, Stephon Clark, God rest his soul, that's accountability issue. And God knows we have a lot of that concept going on where incidents like this Stephon Clark young man happen almost too frequently with no accountability other than words. So, like I said a moment ago, look, fellas, we have all kinds of detractions. But obviously, all of us thank God that he continues to brighten our way and lighten the load. So like I say it all the time, fellas, let us continue forward.
Hey, Mr. Sherman, I'm gonna tell you, I'm embarrassed because where was this? I don't even know where it was.
Downtown.
And it was sponsored by and representative of the anniversary, or not gonna say the anniversary, but the date of his demise, or what it was, what was the theme?
Okay, so the brothers, Mr. Clark, has us every year they do a 3-day event. From they started Purnell Park, and they do a whatever, and then they Sunday thing, and then on Monday they go to the Capitol and they have an open mic where anybody can walk up and talk on that mic for 2 minutes, I believe. I've been to one, but you know, I have sight problems, and you know, being around people that I don't know, they don't understand my. Don't push me down. That's my thing. And, you know, I mean, if I fall, it hurts, man, because I hurt my body really bad when I got hit by a car. And it's a really good event. I really wanted to talk on the mic myself, but I'm hiding out in America. I went through some stuff. I don't want everybody to know who I am yet. How you?
Hello?
Back.
Hello. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, kings and queens. I didn't hear what the whole topic was, but Red is here, and he just want to say one thing. Here, Red, where we go?
Oh yeah, big brothers. I'm going to my rehab right now. And I know NA, and I know AA, man. My rehab, you know, wish me lucky. You know, wish me the best. And, you know, I pulled through.
He's in. We at the rehab place right now. Residential treatment right now.
Hey, all right, hey, brother, keep your head up, man. Hey, don't care. Don't listen to them. Don't care about what they say about you, man. Don't care about that. Don't care about that. Stay strong, brother. They gonna talk about you. Don't give a damn about the Mexicans, man. Don't give a damn about that. Fuck them, man. Fuck them. You got you to work on. You know what I'm saying? Fuck that Spanish shit. Hey. You feel me?
Yeah, kid. Yeah, King.
All right,
yeah.
Man. Hey, I've been praying for you, bro. Keep it up.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Yeah, I'll have a good day, King.
Good to hear you, man. Good to hear you. It's double
okay,
R,
you
man.
Guys.
I love you, bro.
He's already in. And so they got to take him to the hospital, make him, you know, get him checked out and everything. But he wanted to say something. And so I'm going to be on the phone, but I'm going to put it on mute, you guys. I'm multitasking, but I just had to do that to give him that encouragement to keep going.
Right on.
All right.
Okay, I yield
so
back.
Okay,
what'd you say?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yes, ma'am. Let the young man know that every senior that's on this phone has got his back when he needs us. This is OG Joe. Whenever that young man gets cloudy and whatnot and needs somebody to speak with, give him my number. Hell, I ain't doing nothing but watching weeds grow. Seriously. And, fellas, that's what I'm referring to a minute ago. Look, here we are helping somebody. Here we are encouraging a young man from that's a different generation. Why are we worried about the sister yesterday and 911 or 111 the other day, the one that talks about the Republican? Man, we got work to do. Let us continue doing what we got to do.
Continue to do what you guys. Like I said, teach one, reach one, teach one. Today, you guys have done something, and I just want to say thank you once again for this platform. This platform of men that are continuing to be on this radio, on Blog Talk. I yield back.
Right on. Okay, so when you get settled in, you can give us some more details about the arrangement that they have there, so we'll know if
about
we can write letters.
The
arrangement that they have there. What kind of arrangement?
Okay.
They have at the facility, so we'll know if we could call in, if we could write letters, or if we could talk to their board, or however we could support from the outskirts. So
Okay.
If you can get all those details together, we can be of support by way of communication, keeping the line of communication open from him to us and us to them, so we can
okay.
keep him encouraged. All right.
Okay.
So when the dust settles and the smoke clear about all the details, and you have the time, get back with us and help us with that information.
Will do. Will do.
Right on.
Hey, Queen Michelle, real quick, tell little homie, chin up, chest out. Chin up, chest out.
Okay, I will. Chin up, chest out. I will do that.
Right on. Yeah, see there? Yes, sir. And see, Joe, I don't know. You might have. See, I hope you don't think we're harping on or constantly revisiting what occurred with the people who are a little askew from our theme and what we represent here. It's just we're working on making sure that we get the telltale signs early, so we know not to give them too much airtime or too much of our quality time if we tell early on the little telltale signs. And that's all we were talking about is be able to detect when someone is trying to proselytize us into a party or an ideology that is not what we represent. We'll know in the short term. That's what that was about. It's not about us continue to revisit and kick dirt on who's opposed to us. It's just being able to detect who is in opposition of our theme and our ideology early as possible. That's all. That's what that was about.
Okay.
So
okay,
yesterday.
Let me respond to you. What is our origin? Now, understand what I'm saying. What is our origin? Our origin is from the streets. Everybody that is on this line and has spoken, all of us have street knowledge. All of us grew up in that concrete concept. And what does concrete do? Concrete is one of the best teachers of phony, fake, and real, because concrete does not give. You hit it, it'll crack into pieces, but it will not give. So what does that mean? Is we grew up, at least where I grew up, fakes and phonies are easy to spot when your eyes are clear. Now, have we gotten so sophisticated that we've forgotten that basic knowledge about how we grew up? None of us got this deep in the game of life without having that as a background, along with sophistication. So spotting a phony, that's easy. You can smell one a mile away if you know what you're looking at. Thank you.
Right on. Yep, you're saying what we're saying. And so we're not going to keep, we're going to identify and brush off any of that which we can concur with you. It's not of our ilk and not of our theme. And so be it. Ashe. Yesterday we started talking about the subject of stronghold, and if we wanted to continue, but it started late, so we agreed to pick back up on the subject matter again today. Now, what we agreed upon is that strongholds are number one. Things or situations where one stands by and defends something or someone almost regardless of what that person says or does or cares about the deliverer. The deliverer continues to faithfully support something or someone to the point where someone looking at it can only stand back and scratch their head wondering what the heck is going on here. So we identified a couple of things. Matter of fact, Sister Michelle identified her son as being in that stronghold with his situation. And that was a good example. And now we're looking at other examples where you've observed someone who is in this stronghold situation, or you observe someone who is the person that's the recipient of the grace of another without any accountability. That's what we were to yesterday. And we had a couple people that shared some experience. And I just like to open it up. If anybody has observed it or has the experience themselves, what do you think about strongholds, and how do you think we can break them? Or how do you think someone will be able to find themselves out of it? Because this really is difficult for me to watch when I see it. It's like it's such a contradiction. Everybody else is accountable except this one person.
Well, first off, Marvell, cut down on that echo. Turn your radio down. That's where the echo is coming from.
Okay. How about now?
It's still up. Yeah. Because you're listening through your phone and your radio, your car stereo. That's what you're listening through. And that's where the echo is coming from.
All right. How about now?
It's just calling in your car. Your phone is close to your car, that's why. But the stronghold, like I say, stronghold is something you have to pray about, because a lot of people don't know that they're up under the influence of someone else. See, a lot of people, once you get in there, you think that that's reality, and you're so far from the truth. You have to look at yourself. Look deep within yourself. That's why it's important that we get out alone. Get away from man-made shit and meditate and think about yourself. What is it that you want out of life? What is it that you bring to life? And then you work on those things. You work on increasing the good and decreasing the bad. And when you start decreasing the bad, you'll begin to recognize who means you no good. And you step away from them as far away as possible. If you can't help somebody, you got to get away from them. Because you only going to do them bad, and vice versa. If nobody can't, if that person can't help you, you got to get away from them because they're going to do you bad. Or, and that goes with a drug, a prescribed medication, whatever it is. I digress.
Yeah, double R here. Hey, man, you hit that. It's spiritual, man. It's a fight with the evil one here. You got, like just a resolution in all things. Don't look to the left or the right. Look up. I yield.
Yeah, these are all good formulas. How do you persuade someone to enact that formula? Because I've seen and been a part of situations where they seem to be oblivious to their behavior with especially the dope. I was like that with the dope. You couldn't tell me that I wasn't gonna get high. You know, like you could talk about it if you want to, but when the conversation is over, if I got money, I'm going to cop, and if I got the D, I'm going to use it. And that stronghold maintained itself in my experience for years and years and years. And I, you know, until as it was prescribed, that I looked at myself and decided. I mean, one time I looked at myself in the mirror, and I had been using that, you know, because I used to kind of get some money, right? I wasn't that guy to be pitching around with the little bit of stuff. I had enough money. I used to get enough money where people preyed on me to try to filch me out of my dope, but they didn't know that I was glad that they were putting the game down to minimize my stock, because if I had used everything that I had, I would have killed myself. But there was a situations where when I'm caught up, you know, there's not anything that anybody can say that will make me reconsider at the time. So that's what I'm talking about is like, how do we impart to someone who is oblivious to their behavior
That's just it, Marvell. You can't really depart to them. All you can do is hope that they hear you. That's where wisdom come in. And at some stage in their life, they'll reflect back on what they heard, and they'll recognize what they need to do. Same way with me. You know, I was out there, and I had a lot of strongholds. I was hooked on gambling, sex. I thought a woman couldn't be happy unless she had me. And I was hooked on gambling, you know, cigarettes, alcohol. I mean, I had to have it all. But, you know, there comes a time when God steps in. God saved me against my will. I didn't want to be saved. But God saw fit to save me. That's why I tell a lot of people, you chose God, God chose me. But in doing so, that's why it's very important that we don't harden our heart. And listen when that voice tells us, time to stop, back away, remove yourself. Because God saved me from a lot of dangerous instances. You know, he saved a lot of people. Like I used to tell people, when God saved me, God saved you. And well, what you mean God ain't saved? Yes, he did, because I thought about doing some things to you. So God saved you when he saved me. But like I say, it's something that we each have to look deep within ourselves. Nobody could do it for you, because whatever that stronghold is, you picked it up. See, we didn't. It's easy for us to see it and tell them about it, but they got to want to put it down. See, and God can't help you put nothing down that you picked up, but he will be there to carry you through it and protect you if you allow him to. Because God always says, see, there's always a warning before destruction. Always. So we just got to recognize that stop sign and stop.
I wish I had the influence prior to someone coming to the reckoning that God needs to be involved in the next decision. Because I've seen it and I've been involved with situations where I couldn't say anything to get this person to look at their own behavior. And then they have the nerve to, when a situation that's similar to theirs pops up, they have an opinion about it. And it's really like, a couple times I was hearing that music. I thought I was in the Twilight Zone. Wait a minute, hold it. Did you just say that? And then you're going to turn around and pour into this other situation that's exactly like what you're denouncing right now. You're going to do it. I'm already prepared to
sometimes
accept
that's the
that
point.
This is going to happen.
That's the start of them recognizing that they have a problem. We just have to allow nature to take its course. Sometimes it's not the way we want it to happen, but it's got to happen. You know, it's like the brother that comes to the healing circle late. You know, he know he has a problem. He just can't fight it. He don't have the strength to fight it. But when he do get that strength to fight it, hopefully it's not too late.
Yeah. See, that me being a prevention person, you know, because a lot of times I hear this, and I'm not adverse to the statement. It's just that I think that if something were proposed, it would urge someone to think about the solution a little quicker. For instance, I'm saying that we'll say, well, people ain't going to stop until they're ready to stop. And I'm wondering, well, what can we do to help them get ready?
You
there's
can't
some
do
things
nothing.
That can be said or some potential things that can be done that to help them get ready quicker than hitting bottom or having tragedy or getting locked up or
Marvel,
risking their life.
You can't.
Maybe there's some things that we could keep you know, in the atmosphere for them so that maybe they'll reconsider their behavior before tragedy occurs. So that's the prevention
right.
model that's in my mind, right?
See, that's the way we think and we feel that it should take place like that. But see, we can't interfere with God. Sometimes God has to take a man a little further than he took you before he recognized it. See, like I said before, some people go in and get their feet wet and turn around and get out. Some people go in and get their ankles wet, turn around and get out. Some go past the knees. Some go waist deep. But the thing is, they got their own time. It's God's time and not ours. We want to see a quick fix. But if they get that quick fix, they might be right back at it. So you got to allow God to run, nature to run its course. And it's a hurtful thing if we sit and watch. It's like my son. I can't sit and watch him destroy his life. I have to move myself away from him. That's his life. I love him, but that's his life. Because you could do more damage to yourself by staying in that position watching. Sometimes it can cause you to go to a drug because you feel like you're worthless or useless. So we have to, all we can do is give them that bit of wisdom. You do this like I said before, one plant, another with water. See, it's hard for us to reach our loved ones, but a stranger could reach them just like that. So they just have to get out and get in the midst of someone that's, that has the wherewithal to help them, because we don't.
Well, that's the strategy that we employ a lot of times with the young people that we work with, is that we find who has the influence with them, and we get in Congress with them to get the message to them. So I understand that, but I'm kind of mixed about letting it be a natural order, let God do what God does. And so if that be the case, we wouldn't train our children up in the way that we want them to go, because we could just let them be and let them go through. And then, the Spirit of God, once they decide to reckon with that as being their guiding force, then that would be their repair. That would be their reparation, right? I'm not clear about whether or not you also said farm them out. Farm them out to, or even allow influence from people who are not as close, like family members or loved ones, may not have the influence that a stranger could have. But nonetheless, we're still talking about information that will help them not go through the totality of maybe what we went through or what they would go through if they didn't have someone pouring into their situation.
But let me help you understand something when you say raise a child up in the way it should go. See, we no longer raise our children. The system raises our kids. Your kid leaves your house early in the morning and be taught by somebody else, be influenced by a whole bunch of other people. Then he returns back to your house late in the afternoon or evening. If you're there, or you may not be there, because you may not return back to your house till later in the evening. But by that time, your child is asleep. You spend less time with your kids than other people. So therefore, they have a bigger influence over that child. Back when the word was written, raise a child up the way it should go, your child was with you. Your child walked alongside you. He worked alongside you. He was in the house with you. But now we're taken away from our homes, away from our families, so other people can influence them. They're influenced by so many things, this radio, TV, this music, everything. So therefore, you cannot have the type of influence on your child that you should have, that God wanted you to have. See, we're not living a life conducive to God. We're living a life that man has made, has set in place for us to live. And we have to do it if we want that money. And then we get addicted to the money that we're chasing the bags, so now we're spending more time away from home and our families to be influenced by others. So we have to understand that. And then we will begin to overstand the situation that's at hand. We have no control.
Right. Well, I don't disagree with any of that analysis. And if we But again, we're always bringing attention to the fact that our influence is minimal. So now it's still the same question. What is it that, where's a formula we could apply that will increase our ability to pour into the youth, the things that we are certain are of God's spirit, right, of the, in the natural order of things, and it's the spirit of God that is irrefutable. You know, some of the things that we're seeing now with our young people, that just, I mean, when we look at it, we say, well, shoot, I would never have done that, never have done that. Now we're recognizing that what we would never do is being done. So how do we change the tide to get them to be more considerate of the ethics and the moral and the, let me use this word, the reverence that is lacking in our young people?
It's only one way to do it, Marvell. You have to decrease the influence. That means staying away from the outside world. Keep your family with you. That will decrease your monetary gain, but it will increase your influence upon your family. See, so it's like I say, we have been conditioned through tradition to allow these things to happen, and now it's overwhelmed us, and there's nothing we could do about it because the damage is done. If we'd have had all the shit that they have in place now when we were kids, we'd be just like them. Hooked on video games, hooked on cell phones, hooked on methamphetamine, hooked on fentanyl. See, that's the problem. But we don't see it because we're too busy trying to chase that bag. So in order to chase the bag, you're going to lose something. Anytime you're running from something, you're leaving something. You're running towards something, you're leaving something. So, I mean, it's damned if you do and damned if you don't. Because if you don't go to work, you can't take care of your family. Now, you might raise them up to understand a lot of things that you're saying because they could see it without being in it. But when you leave, they in it, and you don't see it.
Marvell.
Yes.
Clarice.
Yes, Clarice.
May I speak?
Oh, undoubtedly.
Okay, I'm going to kind of summarize some things because I was part of the earlier conversation. I just never got a chance to get in, so I wanted to wait. But March the 30th is a very significant day, and we're going to see what happens after then. But what I wanted to say is that this is a all hands on deck. All hands on deck. And you've got to realize in this battle is that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's all, at all times. That's all he wants to do. And this is a spiritual battle, a spiritual battle. And the good book said, that I read, that every fool will be meddling. So expect the fools to meddle. Because if they knew what was going on and what was going to happen, they would not be meddling. They'd be joining in. Then I want to talk about strongholds. The only thing that can break a stronghold is the Holy Spirit. So we have to stand in the gap for these people. You got to be there. No matter, it's not about what they are thinking and what they're doing. It's that you've got to operate through the Spirit. Because there's three bodies. We have the Holy Spirit. We have our soul, which is our free will, our psychic. And we have the body. Now, the body will do whatever the soul says. Whatever your free will, whatever you feel, whatever your emotions, your body will always follow the dictates of the soul. What you got to do is let the Holy Spirit be out front. Because the Holy Spirit needs to influence and control your soul, because when your soul is in right standing, the body automatically will eat right, will do right, will not ingest things. It's automatically going to line up, only if the Holy Spirit is out front. So when we pray, when we operate, we do through the Holy Spirit. We don't necessarily use that language, because you got to watch out your language if you use, but you can operate with the anointing. The anointing is the only thing that's going to break the yoke, and that's what has to happen. We can't do it within ourselves. Marvell is a prevention person, so all hands on deck. You don't prevent something that's already happened. You start with the babies. You start with the youth, the children. Then after things have happened, then we talk about a rescue. Then we're talking about breaking strongholds. Yes, you plant the seed. That desire is within that person. Every person has an innate ability to serve its maker. So all we got to do is feed that. Feed the thing that you want. Don't feed the bad behavior. Don't feed the negative. Yes, we got to be aware of it. We need to be aware of what's out there. I've been just writing down, I've been listening to the news and writing down people who will talk about reparations. My reparation is reparation. I've been following women. I'm looking for women leadership, finding out what they're saying. Some say we already got it. Some say we did something, but we need to start the conversation. We need to get it on people's minds. Not wait until October for November. We need to start now so people can start becoming aware of reparations so we can educate them on every front that we can get. We need to start educating people so they can start looking into it, asking questions. We got to start doing that. I hear instructions. We got our instructions. November the 30th should solidify this thing for us. At least it will for me, and I'm going to try my best to make it out there. Because you're going to get information. You're going to take a stand. I've heard people say, let's start. Let's start the flyers. Let's start putting our money on something, however small it be. Let's get started. We got a bunch of instructions. Now we're going to get our infrastructure built. We got to get our infrastructure ready. We got to get our storage ready. Because the money is the thing that will bring us down. I heard that there's millions of dollars that's been poured into Sacramento. And as grants, we need to get some of that grant money. Just on the news. I mean, so I'm looking into that. I'm going to go back to Sac State. I'm, you know, alumni there. They've got money. So I'm going to try another thing working on my master's to use that to do some things that I want to do. So I'm going to go for it. I don't know how far I'll get, but I'm going for it. As I said before, I'm on board. I'm limiting in what I can do, but what I can do is needed. What each and every person can do is needed. Thank you, and I'll step down.
Amen, amen, amen.
Oh, yeah, I have myself on mute. Thank you very much for that balancing act, because oftentimes a referee is necessary. Not to say that anybody was in violation, we just say we get tied up, and then referee needs to come and separate us and get back into, you know, how we're gonna address the issue at hand. So the spiritual aspect of stronghold and the spiritual aspect of the person who's observing them, that's what I think I got from that, is that, you know, when you see that there's something going on that's awry with the spirit, you know, let's not counter it with the carnal. Let's address it with the spirit and represent that spirit that will be probably the breaker of the stronghold by demonstrating that spirit to the person that you want to influence. Because I all I do is scratch my head, and I just like, I just gotta act like that. I don't see that. However, the proposal now is to represent. Let the spirit of encouragement, the spirit of enlightenment, let the spirit of wisdom and knowledge just permeate through you and be mentally, this person is in the throes of something that they're not either not aware of totally, or they don't know how to address it. So we demonstrate what it is that might be the remedy, which is the Spirit of God, then it's, we'll be closer to the potential for them to work through that same spirit, whatever their challenge is. So if they, I appreciate that outline that you presented. Okay, so listen, I'm wondering if this is one of our unusual that I think he said that he's still I don't know if he's doing something with outside of the house or if it's in the house or something, but I haven't heard much from him, so I'm gathering that he might be busy. But if that's the case, then maybe the switchboard is not being enacted. So if anybody, I wonder if anybody has pressed one to raise their hand to speak and have not been let in, or if someone who regularly participates is somehow being blocked out. Let's take a roll call to see who's all available. So, Joe, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Double R.
Here.
Okay. Mark?
Present.
Okay. Oh, and Clarice, you're still there, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I think Mama Chocolate says she's going to be in and out. But are you there, Michelle? She said she was going to be on mute until she took care of the details of her son's enrollment into that process. And Clarice, I don't know if you know it or not, but and I don't know, maybe it's a couple people that might be listening now that weren't available earlier, but as we speak, Michelle, Mama Chocolate, is enrolling her son in an in-treatment, inpatient treatment facility. Not the one where you have the discretion to stay or go, and, you know, you have the freedom to, you know, continue other habits that are attached to, like smoking cigarettes and all that stuff, and, you know, just you know, a lot of facilities are just designed for you to be ready when you show up, and all they do is it provides you what you need in your readiness. They don't have facilities very often that get you ready. So that's where he's supposed to be enrolling in now, is a facility that helps him get ready and helps him with this detox concern, because that's a major concern with certain drugs, especially opiates and alcohol particularly, is that you have to be very careful when they are inserted into a treatment model that the detox is proper. So that's where she said that she was with him, and she even put him on the phone, and he spoke on the fact that he's going in there on his own volition, and we can only hope that this is a genuine, sincere effort on his part to be in a structured environment. We talked about that yesterday. Matter of fact, McGriff was concurring with her about some kind of environment that doesn't allow a whole bunch of individual decision making. Sometimes it's like being locked up in a jail. You know, your decision making is minimal. Decisions are made for you. And for me, I just personally say, for me, I sort of volunteered myself for that structure when I didn't know what I was going to do about handling my drug concern. I used to get I subconsciously, I think I used to get locked up because I didn't know. I knew as long as I had the freedom to do myself, I wasn't prepared to do what was best for me. So being in a controlled environment will help me to have decisions made for me that I wasn't willing to make for myself. So she gave that report, Clarice, and for all those who may not have been on the line when she shared that. And so she's going to hopefully she'll get that taken care of, and then maybe before the end of the broadcast, she'll delve back in and tell us how we can be of support from our vantage point, meaning if we can write letters or we can communicate through social media, or we can communicate, or even I don't know where he is. He might be local. I don't know if he can. If maybe we can visit him or something to keep the encouragement up in the forefront of what we want for him to follow through on. Because we're looking at it. We're saying, oh, it's been time. Luckily, it hasn't cost him his life, because yesterday she said that he had been beaten again. That he and she was in tears when she shared her son had gone out into that circumstance, that and into that wilderness, doing what he does, and as a result of that, something happened that caused him to be beaten. And this is two times she's reported that. Beaten, right? So we're hoping that this is going to be the necessary course of action for him, and we want to find out from her what we can do to keep on pouring the encouragement on for him to stay the course and go the distance this time, and don't let anything deter him. Like Double R said, he was at a place where they have. They had a lot of Hispanic people in the facility, and his excuse was he couldn't understand the language. Well, you don't have to understand the language. You understand the challenge, right? The challenge is everybody in there is experiencing the throes of a drug that if they don't have some kind of monitorization or some kind of direction, they're going to keep on using it until they die. So he's in a good place now, I'm told, and hopefully we'll get a report and find out what we can do.
Brother Marbella.
Yes.
It's Larry.
Hey, Larry. How you doing, man?
All right. I was just saying I'm listening, so I've been here.
Oh, you've been here. How come you didn't check in, Larry?
I got on by maybe 10 minutes late, but I've been just listening to everybody.
Okay, well, do us a favor. Just check in, man, because, you know, we're a family.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we kind of like miss our family members when they don't report, right?
Right.
How are they doing?
Oh, you doing great. Getting ready to try to start playing sports somewhere.
Did you say great?
Yeah, he's doing good. He's doing good. He still grades A's and B's, and he's ready to play basketball.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know how warming that is.
Yep, and he's ready to start a menu. He said that conversation you gave him on Saturday about cooking and getting his business going really encouraged him. So he's putting a plan together.
Hey, listen. I met with a financial banker, an investment banker, and another brother. But we had the idea when we sat in the healing circle for the youth, right, that we should start a board and get them to start having little business structures, business ventures, and get them into working together to promote businesses, to get contracts, to get short-term jobs or mid-term job situations, and start a corporation. our young 14 to 19, all the teams. So even 13, from 13 to 19, all of the teams construct a body that incorporates and becomes a business. There's nothing stopping that. And when we have someone like your grandson who has that skill, we can build a model around him and start doing, you know, like promoting catering, and they can help promote the catering, and then he can teach them what he knows about prep cooking and getting stuff ready, and they can be a small catering business manned by 13 to 19-year-olds and getting their feet wet with how to generate in the business field, right? So I hope that when I talked to him, I was asking him about his menu, and then we want to do a breakdown, Larry. I hope you'll help out with that. Do a breakdown on what the costs are, and then we'll start looking at wholesale costs, right? Start looking at developing relationships with vendors and people who can have the supplies, so that we can get them at a wholesale price, and so that we can have what we need whenever we need it, and not have to struggle to pay the retail for what we need, right? So it's on the way, man. But for the people who are not aware of this, I'm sharing about Larry's grandson, who 2 weeks ago prepared an exquisite meal for, what was it, like 20, was it 20 of us, Larry? Larry. Okay, well, I don't know if he dubbed out, but it was about, at least it was like 17 or 18 men. And this 14-year-old prepared a meal with, I'm talking about a complete meal, with green beans, with a meat additive that was good.
Neck bone.
Who said neck bone?
Yeah, that's me.
Who said, you said neck bone? Oh, was neck bone
there? Yeah, it was neck bone.
Oh man, that neck bone meat, that's what that was. Man, look. Green beans, neck bone meat, macaroni and cheese, two types of chicken. Name those types of chicken that he did, Larry.
It was baked chicken and smoked chicken.
Smoked chicken. Yeah, baked chicken, smoked chicken.
Topped off with cornbread.
Cornbread, I said. Cornbread. Man, you talking about putting it down. I'm letting y'all know, when the young man said he wants to be a chef, I consider him a chef. He just wants to be a better chef, and working towards being one of the best chefs at 14 years old. I'm telling you. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about his youth group members forming a body, a board. And we'll kind of like steer them toward ventures that would help them become a business consortium of sorts, right? Not a consortium, business body, right? And that's something good to learn from when you have someone in your fold that could cook as well as he does. They can start their little catering thing, and let their board get involved in marketing and getting contracts and helping them get ready, and you know, pretty soon they'll be off the chart with their productivity, and that's what we're looking at, getting the young people to get involved in. Let's put it like this: we're introducing them to a new kind of game, We want them to be in this game. We want them to attract each other to this game. So that's another good report that we have. We're talking about it. I'm going to do the announcement tonight to find out about the interest. And then once the interest has been established, then we'll get particular, because we're going to have the investment banker there tonight. And once we get a consensus of interest with the young people, then he'll come up and he'll give them the particulars about how and what's necessary to get started. And hopefully we'll be started by next week, Larry.
Yeah, we'll be there tonight.
Right on. Right on. Yes,
Marvell?
Yes, ma'am.
Therese, I want to tie in those two incidents with the young man with the cooking and also with Mama Chocolate or Michelle. And if you notice, the day before, I think it was the session prior, she got on and she said that her son had relapsed. He left the place and she was to tears. And what we all did was to get with her and let her know we're going to be praying even more. We're going to continue to pray. We're going to stand in the gap. Same thing with the young man. He was stubborn, you all said. I don't care. I don't want to be here type thing. And look what happened. So when the resistance comes, when you see the opposite direction going, you cannot give in. You got to dig down deeper, because that stronghold is not going to voluntarily leave. We have to stand in the gap. We got to pour it on more, and feed that desire. They don't want to be where they are. You got to also realize that addiction slips into habit. Sometimes you just get in a habit of doing something, and you really don't want to do it, and you probably could let it go, but it just becomes such a habit. So where is the addiction where you need the intervention, the medical treatment, and where is the habit where you just need some practical sense? No, you get up in the morning, you put this here. You just don't do that anymore. So, again, you got to stand in the gap, and we cannot give up. The behavior always gets worse before it gets better. That's why I wanted to tie in. Stay in there. Don't give up. Please don't give up.
Hey, Brother Marvell.
I'm done.
Mama Snake, I'm here.
Sorry, my brother.
Okay.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Well, this is Brother Wally, man. I've been listening for a minute, and I just want to say about these young men, man. See, these youngsters have to be educated, re-educated. They have to be re-educated. And if they didn't come from a good, strong mother, a strong father, you see what I'm saying? That's why they've been miseducated. You see what I'm saying? But the thing is, we have to bring these youngsters together. You should have a day where they can call in and view their opinion. You see? Because they're looking for real leadership. They're looking for real leadership, man. When they can see men, they're solid. Women, they're solid. You know, they'll follow that lead, man. See, and we got to come together, man. That's the only way we're going to receive reparation. We're going to receive it when we really come together. See, when you look at Philadelphia over there, them brothers, them Israelites, they black brothers, right? And they solid, man. It's 10,000 of them. You'll see them on YouTube. So, you know, these brothers are solid, man. So, see, they showing a sign right now in 2024. This is a sign for us, man, as men, as black men, as black women, you see. So this is what we need, man. See, they'll give us reparation overnight, but we can really come together, man, and bring these youngsters on your show and have, let them voice their opinion, man. Once they really voice their opinion, then some of the OGs, you know, like me and you and other brothers that had that information, man, you know what I'm saying? We can lace them with knowledge and wisdom and understanding where they'll be solid, man. See, because they're looking for real leaders, man, real brothers, real women, man. So this is what our people need, man. We need this, man. You know what I'm saying? See, I come from South Central right out there, man. I'm in Lancaster right now. See, Allah got me out here, man. I'm still setting the tone on this end, but I'm out in L.A. 3-4 times a week. You see what I'm saying? So, but the thing is, man, I've been a merchant all my life, man, 50 years, soldier. You know what I'm saying? All my life. And so
and I'll be 69 this year, man, in August. But the thing is, I love my people, man. And I go battle down for my people, man, you know, because that's the kind of man I always been. I'm a Muslim. And so my thing is, I love my people. I want the best for my people. I want for my brother what I want for myself. And I always been like that because I had a strong mother and a strong father. They gone, but they left me a legacy, man. And I ain't never degressed from that. Always been progressive as a youngster, man. Anybody know me, they know me. You know what I'm saying? You know, so they know that, you know, I'm serious, man. And so I love my people, and we got to get together, man. I might have to, you know, one day, you know, make a appointment, man, to come up there to your station, man, inshallah. But, yeah, man, so I just want the best for us, man. Allah wants the best for us. And so Allah say, being a race to good, and good protects your soul. So we have to always enlighten our people, man, encourage them. Be a good leader. Be a good man that's got integrity and got charisma. So, but I, you know, so I just feel good, man, when Big Money gave me your number here, man. You know, I've been, you know, I might call once or twice a week, you know, but I called last week, you know, but I thank Allah, man, you know, because it's needed, man. It's time for us to change, man. And we got to make this year our year, man, and because it is, because Allah turning up the elements in life, man. So we have to just be courageous, man. We have to be courageous soldiers this day and time. Why? Because, see, when they see you, they know you about something. They know you somebody. You somebody, man. All my people somebody. And anytime I can have any kind of chance to be around the youngsters, I try to educate them to the best of my ability, because that's what it's about, man, being able to give back to the community. Allah say, give back that beautiful loan that he gave you. You know what I'm saying? So we have to give back, and more we give back, more going to come back. So this is my message for the community, man. You know, we just have to come together and be solid, man. You know, word is bond, man. As long as we stand up, and it's an Arabic word, mean qiyam. Qiyam just means upright. So, you know, we're standing upright, man, with knowledge and empowerment and substance that's going to outlive America, man. Because all the great men and great women that's gone back to Allah, you know, they had a message, man. And so we have one. So we got to show our love to our young brothers, man, and our young sisters, you know, because they need that love, man. They need it, man, from us, man. But I don't want to take up a lot of time. I don't want to take up a lot of time, brother. I'm finished. I just want to, you know, encourage that, man. I'm Wali, man, and I love us, man. You know, so, hey, you know how it is.
Thank you, brother.
We got all
Thank you, yeah. Brother. You, hey, I mimic that. This is one girl, man. I've been listening. I've been taking care of my queen. Y'all know she had surgery yesterday, so I wasn't in and
yes,
out. Brother Wali, I appreciate
yes,
you, brother. Most High got you covered, man, and you're going to spread that message that you're spreading, and I appreciate you coming on here spreading it, brother. I wanted to ask Brother Marvell a question.
Okay.
Brother Marvell.
Yeah, I'm here.
So when you say banker coming in, are you talking about investor? Are you talking about Ralph?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I hear some apprehension now. So I hear some apprehension. You want to share?
Who was you talking to me?
Just him. You still there?
Well, I'm still here, brother.
Yeah,
I was just,
yeah. Yeah, I had to think of some way to be polite on this end of the mic, right?
Okay.
I don't want to be rude, but when somebody come and talk to the kids and they say they're going to do something and they don't show up and kids ask questions And then you show up with somebody else about 3 months later and never correct what you said or even stood on what you said before for our kids. I have a problem with that. Because these kids, okay, they remember. They remember, right? Kids remember. And so they asked me, is that the guy that said he was going to do this for us? I said, yeah, that was him. Well, what happened? I said, well, the next time he come in there, ask him for yourself. Don't let me ask him. You ask him. And so what I don't like to do is I don't like to be pump faking. Yeah, I don't like pump fakers. You know, if you say something, be a man of your word, Marville, you know how we get down. And if you can't, let me know. But don't have me standing to question what you said, and you're not there to, you know, represent what you said to our kids. So a lot of people want to do something, and I appreciate that. But when you come at these kids and you say something, make sure you stand on your business. Like them kids say, stand on your business. Don't just be talking out the side of your neck trying to look important, because them days is over. We didn't have a bunch of them Jesse Jacksons and all them trying to look important.
Hey, young soldier, let me share something with you. See, first of all, my word been bond all my life. See,
oh, no,
you
not,
really
you. Not you. Not you.
I'm just saying. If I get it to these youngsters, man. They know I'm solid. And so the thing is, you know, I just try to be real to anybody, man. Because, you know, I'm in the trenches every day, man, out here dealing with this. I'm in these trenches, man, every single day, somewhere, you know. That's how I do it. So even when I'm seven, I'm being solid, man. I'm being strong. See, because that's all it's about, man. It's about commitment, man. It's about commitment.
Yes,
I got my commitment to glorify me. See, I'm going to be strong to that. You see what I'm saying? And I'm going to be loyal to that. And I'm going to be loyal to anybody that I come in contact with. Because that's all it's about, man. It's a commitment,
yes,
man.
Sir.
And I try to stay strong to that. Whoever know me know that. And so, you know, so that's what it's about, man. So I hear you. But when I tell them youngsters something, I do it. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, we don't even have the opportunity to be around them. I was just making a statement about if, you know, this should be a day where they can call in and express their feelings, man. You know what I'm saying? See, because we got to give them that love, too, and just hear where they're coming from. And then we interject. We say, well, okay, brother, we can come over here that day or whatever. You know, I'm just saying. I'm just an idea, brother, because y'all got your own program. I'm just making a statement, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
How we can bring some of these youngsters together. Because, see, once they see some of their people, some of the youngsters coming together, they gonna follow suit, man. That's just how it go. Look here. If unity came today, man, everybody that's out here in America, they're going to come to it, man, all over the world. See, it's going to start right here. It's a snowball effect. If it starts right here in L.A., it's going to be everywhere. In every state, this is how it go, man. So we got to educate youngsters, man. We got to educate anybody we come in contact with. That's why I'm at with it. So, bless y'all, man, for y'all effort. And I love you, man. Keep that strength going, man, because that's what it is. If,
yes,
you know,
sir.
I'll be checking
Riley.
In, like, yeah.
So we have them come on. The youth come on, man. They come on the radio on Saturdays, right?
Okay, I didn't
when
know.
When they're not in the program with Marvell on Saturdays, they come on Saturdays and they talk about marijuana usage and other things, right? On Saturday mornings, they won't be on this Saturday, but next Saturday they'll be on because they'll be in class with Marvell finishing up their studies, right? So we have them in the youth healing circle where we're bringing them in so they can talk. They got an hour and a half. That's all we can give them from 6 to 7:30 on Tuesday night tonight. They'll be in the Obama room at 2251 Florin Road where they are able to heal with one another, right? Peer-to-peer counseling between them, right? We know what you're talking about. What you said is correct. I'm just saying that there's been people that came through that promised some things and didn't even show back up, brother.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, so that's all I was saying. I don't want that around me. Period.
Yeah.
I don't want that around me. You know, you ain't gonna be a man of your word. You ain't gonna be a man of your word. Go on and do that over somebody else, cause you're not finna fluff over here, or you're not finna fake over here. But I see Double R had called back. Double R, you still there?
Oh yeah, Double R here, man.
Did you have something to say? I seen you had called back.
Oh, no, just listening, but, man, I just like the conversation. And Brother Wale, what's happening, man? Double R from L.A., Slauson Crenshaw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good to hear you on here, brother. Good
impact. I probably saw you in the trenches,
man. I like your style, brother. I like your energy.
Yeah, you probably saw me in the trenches. Yeah, I hear you, brother. You probably saw me in the trenches because I'm out there. You know, I come from there, man. I come from Watts, MP Sports. Yeah, man, so, you know, Inglewood, you know, so. Yeah, so
yes, sir.
I'm out here. You know,
salute,
a lot of us
salute,
out here too.
Salute.
Yeah,
salute.
Man. But you know, the thing is, I love us, man. And we solid, man. When we can get together, man, and bond, man. That's all we need right now, man. Just bond, man.
Yes,
you know, and stay strong.
Agreed.
That. You know what I'm saying? See,
agreed.
A lot of brothers. Yeah, that's what we need, man. Once we can come to that essence, man. Hey, we won, man. We won this battle, man. We won this battle, man.
Right.
See, when we get our brothers to stand up and just clean their little soul up and get right, man, with Allah, man, we won, man. Just right with God, man. You know, we won,
that's
man.
Fun.
You know, because they, hey, see, that's what they don't want. Look here. I'm going to share this, man. I'm going to get off, you know, because I'm going to get back at my little work. But anyway, but I'm going to be checking with y'all like once a week or whatever, twice a week or whatever. I'm going to be calling in. But the thing is, man, you know, it was a white dude. He came on YouTube. You know, my son-in-law was showing it to me, right? And my son, you know, my wife's son, because, you know, he was a son there before I came. But I still look at him like a son because he's younger than me. But the thing is this here, man, he was showing me a YouTube by the white boy on there talking about, you know, when they build a constitution, they build a constitution just for them. And so the key was they build it for them and wants to leave us out. But see, I'm a cat. When I was in the pen, I was strictly, you know, helping brothers get them 115s off of them and help them go home. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't learn that law, man. Criminal and civil, I thank Allah, man, for that. But at the same time, he was saying, white boy was saying that the blood on their hands, which it is, the blood on their hands for what they've been killing us, man, and doing all this here. So we have to bind together now so we can really win this battle. He already said that we're going to rise up, which it is. Allah going to make it happen. See, reparation, all that stuff going to happen because on God's time. Because, see, if a person do anybody wrong, the Creator got them. And they can't deviate from it. You see what I'm saying? So the blood on their crackers, see, they don't like it. When I go in the meat, man, where they, I call them what they are. I say, cracker? I say, cracker, you know what you are. Look me in my eyes. I say, look me in my eyes and tell me that you know you've been wrong all your life. You see, you come from the Caucasus Mountain. See what I'm saying? So, hey, they can't deal with you when you're sorry, man. They scared of you
right.
When
hey,
you got...
Hey, Brother Wale, let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question?
Come on with you. Come on with you.
Hey, why is it that when we go to the pen, there's unity in there, but when we get out, man, we be back to that dumb shit? What's going on? Why so much structure in the pen with the black unity, but when they come back out here, they be tripping on the red-blue?
Look here.
The youngsters.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the youngsters.
See,
we teach them to stay together in there.
Because,
but when they get out, they go back to what they're doing.
Well,
I figured double
R. Because, see, the reason why, let me just say this. The reason why they don't really see the real unity that they want to see And so they don't, they just deviate. They deviate, man. You see what I'm saying? So they should go on to what they want to go to. See what I'm saying? But if they came to a community that was solid and strong, then they gonna run to that. Just like they do in the pen. When they see that solidness, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? They come back together. You know what I'm saying? But God is good, man. But, you know, but we still got to keep our arm around them. We still got to keep our arm around them, all right? You know what I'm saying? That's it. You know what I'm saying? God is good, bro.
Okay, man. So listen, brother. I'm going to swing back before we run out of time. Swing back to the theme that Tim was talking about, which is that, you know, although you represent it, and most of the guys on here represent their word, we're talking about fending off those who have a tendency to not represent their word and not giving them any hair time or not giving them any our attention if they prove to be as such. So in this case, I'm trying to remember what happened with a commitment that was made that was not fulfilled by this Ralph, the investment banker. And so Tim might have a remedy having the kids ask him, or maybe we can bring it to the forefront and find out why he didn't meet his commitment and get some clarity about that before we go forth with him. That doesn't mean we're not going forth with the project. He's just one of the people that if we get the project going, if he is who he says he is, he can get it to where we can really create something for these young people in a midterm, not a long term. But if he's not who he say it is, that's not going to stop our project. So we can put him on the spot this evening and find out why he has not fulfilled his commitment and why should we trust him to make another one. So that's something that I think it came out of this conversation, because I trust Tim's judgment when he has apprehension about somebody. It's really kind of like it's a matter of a spiritual awakening more than it is a judgment, right? So when he said that, I probed it immediately. Like, hold it. I'm hearing something, I'm feeling something, so let me know. So we're going to shake that down tonight and put him on the spot to find out why he didn't do what he said he's going to do, and why, if he couldn't, why didn't he apprise someone and make it clear that if something came up that disallowed him from being as prompt as he said he was going to be. And that goes for anyone henceforth, is if they don't do what they say they're going to do, and if they don't announce it, or if they don't give some kind of clarity about why they didn't do what they said they're going to do, probably won't get but one chance with us. You probably won't get but one chance. So be mindful and careful about what you commit to, because if you don't do it, you're probably going to be ostracized until further notice.
All right, watch
this. So that's
this.
What the message is about this.
Watch this, Marvell. You got more than one time, because God forgave me. See, listen, let me speak. God forgave me for all I done. I was in the game selling dope, sold to some pregnant women. And I can't get that out my head, right? That's my curse.
Yeah.
But I'm going to walk with that for the rest of my life. But he changed me and saved me and spared me to do right when I was a wrongdoer. So what I'm saying is that brother Ralph gets another chance, but you just not finna just throw him up in my shit because he said he Ralph the banker. When Ralph the banker not only let the children down, but I, with you, went to a meeting on Martin Luther King and 15th at that building. Them jokers took my name down, saying they was finna do something. They took my name down, took all my information down, and they didn't even contact me back. We supposed to put something together. I just took time out of my life to go and sit down with the brother, and the brother didn't even get back with me. I don't know if he got back with you, but he didn't get back with me. And so that's one thing. The other thing is he came back. I allowed him to come on in because God gave me a chance. He saved me. He forgave me, so I forgave the brother.
Yes, sir.
But if he gonna keep coming in with that pedangle move because he used to be something special, we don't need that. We need the real. We need the real. I don't need to know what you used to do. I need to know what you're gonna do. And if you're gonna talk about working with the kids, you got to be on point when you say you're gonna work with the kids. You can't just come in there, scout out the kids and scout out the program and see where you can connive and maneuver. And, man, I lose everything I got about a joker like that, man. Because that's how we them infiltrators to me. Them infiltrators. And yeah, I'm hot. I'm hot because it's too long that this has been going on in the black community. We keep letting these people with a title speak for people that's starving and struggling, and the people with the title never hit the mark of the people that's starving and struggling. So I don't want that around me. I want somebody starving and struggling like me to tell the real, to stand on their business and push forward. Don't just come in every now and then and case the joint, see what you can see and see what you can take out of that. Man, they got a whole bunch of nonprofits they can go do that to. They're not going to do that to One Gong, because One Gong built this from the bottom up when people was laughing and saying, well, you got a youth circle. What is that? Oh, they ain't going to come. Oh, they ain't going to come. 10 years later, they still coming. So we're not going to mix none of that dirty water with this clean water, period.
Say, my brother, you know, because, you know, seem like we're going in circles. But the thing is this here. The thing is this here. You know, I was just, all I'm telling you what the community need to do. I'm telling you what the community need to do. Come together, man, on oneness, man. That's it, man. And once that happens, you can see that snowball effect. See what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. So we have to call certain meetings and try to, you know, spearhead some things, man. That's what we have to do as men, man. So, but I'm just saying, you know, that's what we have to do. And we have to, you see, because once you win they trust, we'll get bigger and bigger. That's how it go, brother. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, so that's really what it's about, man. We have to show that love and that trust with our people, man. You know, it's a hard thing, but it's a lot of work, man. You know that. You know it's a lot of work. We all know it's a lot of work, but it can happen. It can happen, man. Something can happen, man. God will for it to happen, you see? So we got to just, you know, y'all make an initial, you know, all my life I've been trying to make the initial, but I've been doing what I do, you know what I'm saying, for,
yeah.
You know. But, you know, because we you know, I remember, you know, years back, you know, just, you know, trying to go to Locke High School and speak when the sister was over there, calling with a K. We went over there, and it was just so many murders. I went to that school, man. You know, so, but I'm just saying, you know, my thing is, man, we just got to come together, man, and we got to work hard to make this happen, brother. That's it, and that's all. And so,
I'm with
you know.
I'm with you on that, Wally.
Yeah, so we can do it. We can do it, man. We can do it.
Yes, sir.
You see, we just gotta step out on the proper faith, man. You know what I'm saying?
So, listen. This is one of the things. See, that what project and this program does. We know what the ideal is. We can see it because we're the visionary. However, it's important for us to work on the details of how to separate those things that keep our people from having the same vision. And that's kind of what this format does. It brings forth issues that exist in our group and ask everybody to look at them and to make a decision about how to handle them or accept a suggestion about how to handle them so that we can see each other the way we see us. Because we're the visionaries. I'm going to say this again. people that come on here and come regularly, they have vision about where we could and should be as a group. However, we have to recognize that a lot of our people don't see what we see, and our job is to get them to do that. So here we are again talking about the wheat from the chaff, right? That's what we have to learn how to do is separate the wheat from the chaff and be able to detect those, talked about it earlier, be able to detect those who are attempting to undermine or to infiltrate or to steal. Because some people come in here with theft in mind. They see something, they say a bunch of kids together, and they come in there with their agendas about what they want to do with the body of kids that they see, usurping the fact that someone got these kids together. All they see is the kids and how to benefit them, and they come and they steal, right? So we have to be really very wary of anybody who's not representative of what our core theme is. So that's what I'm hearing now. So I don't know. I guess I'll talk with him after the broadcast to find out how he wants me to handle this particular individual or whether he wants him to be there or not, because either way he decides, that's what's going to happen. He's not, if it was agreed that he's not going to be there, he's postponed. He's canceled. If it's agreed to be there and we're going to talk about what it is that you got to do to account for why you didn't do what you said you was going to do before, we'll do that. So that's all we're here to do is to turn over rocks and look at the details and find out how we're going to get to the ideal situation where we're working together. There are a whole lot of things in a traumatized people that we have to work through, and we're going to do it together. And I'll give.
Amen. I pray that comes together one day, someday, somehow. I pray that everything that I say isn't used in a different kind of way, in a wrong way, or stolen or manipulated through the system. I pray that all that's spoken out from everybody isn't used and manipulated through the system. Because yeah, there's a fact that we do come together on one positive, strong thing. It can happen. Because I sat back and watched the Black Lives Matter movement just like everybody else. And I'm like, wow, that's really going to come together. They come from all over the country, all over this world, to come together for something that's to be strong and positive. Mind you, it's not going to end any of the deaths and everything else that we have occurring. But it's still the fact that we did come together for something like that. So knowing that the reparation is a needed thing, I'm praying we can hold forth and come together for that. The next generation of the youth, I pray that things do come to be as simple as it can be for them to actually perceive where we're leaving off once we pass away. Because it does have to involve in business. That's why I mentioned if you don't put a kid on the corner this summer with a lemonade stand at the minimum, then we're really losing the battle. Because as a whole, we are too strong of a nation. As we're divided, we're weak as, man, weak as, I don't even know, cotton. We're really weak individually, and that's the suffering that I've been going through by myself because I've been walking through my valley by myself. People jump on just to steal from me, pillage from me, lie on me, manipulate and everything else, which I really don't care because my mission for God is above and beyond anything man can ever do for me. So I'm praying that all this comes together, and I'm just going to be a listener for the most, and I'll save my little 2 minutes to the end and fill in wherever I feel the fact of need. Other than that, this is Rev. I still love everybody. I appreciate everybody, and my prayers are with everybody. And I agree. Peace.
Ashe.
Agape.
Okay, so it looks like we're going. I don't want to get cut off abruptly, but our time is up unless we're being extended, Tim. Our time is up, and we want to thank everyone for contributing and participating, and we look forward to the opportunity to do the same. Every morning from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock, we mix it up and we stir it up on this network. So stay tuned and have a great day.